Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you, brother. Hey, who's excited to be here? One people excited to be here. Hey, this is getting along a little bit in our Lent season, isn't it? It's quite a few Sundays in, but your title today is this: Old and New Creation, Searching for Home. Old to New Creation, Searching for Home. How many of y'all are excited to know that you got a home in heaven if you've accepted our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Amen? That's definitely something to look forward to, isn't it? Something that He can turn our old nasty, sinful selves, amen, into glorious creatures that can walk the streets of heaven with Him. Amen. That's going to be an awesome time. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to get up there. I know my time here might not be done because we don't know when our time is up. But I'm excited to know that when it is, amen, we'll be running the streets of gold with Jesus. That's going to be awesome, guys. That's going to be awesome. Amen. But again, the title today, Old and New Creation, Searching for Life, or Searching for Home. The main scripture is actually going to come from the book of Luke 15, 1 through 3, and also Luke 15, 11 through 32. So Luke 15, 1 through 3, NIV version says it this way. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And Jesus told them this parable. Luke 15, 11 through 32 says this. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.'" How many of y'all ever wanted that before? Before it was your time, right? "The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me your share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and he set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out as a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that was what the pigs were eating. But no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses," he got knocked back around by Jesus, right? "When he came to his senses," he was ready to say, "'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called of your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he's still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick!" How fast? "Quick! Quick! Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring a fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast to celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again." Amen. "He was lost and now he is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and he asked him, "What was going on?" "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed a fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and he refused to go in. How many of y'all have been that older brother? Amen. "Look, all these years I've been slaving with him or I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. Amen. He was lost and he's found. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I've been found by the Savior. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I ask you to get me out of the way right now, Lord. May it be your Holy Spirit speaking through me, Lord. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, for the blessing and the message that you have for us today, Lord, of a new creation for you, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do for us, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to come into your house today, Lord, and serve you, Jesus. And Lord, we just ask you to be with us, Lord. Open our mind and soul again to the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Now that's the main scripture. That's some good stuff right there, ain't it? But your first scripture we're going to look at is 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21. The book of 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21. NIV says this. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we were once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if any in Christ is any in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled himself through Jesus or through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against him. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And though God was making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin. Amen. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I'll say that last verse again. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we can have him and become righteousness in God. Amen. I don't know about you, but as we continue this Lenten journey that we're on right now, we're called to reflect deeply on our relationship with our God, aren't we? And the transformation that he offers through his Son, Jesus Christ. Today's passage from 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21 invites us each one to embrace the radical change that God gives us and brings into our lives. Paul reminds us that in Christ we are a new creation, right? We're reconciled to God and entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. In verse 16, we can see through the eyes of Christ and what he's seen. Paul begins by saying this, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. That challenges us to shift our perspective, don't it? No longer seeking and seeing ourselves and others through the lens of our past mistakes and sins, right? Not through a status, not through human judgment, but truly seeing us through the eyes of Jesus Christ. During Lent, we're reminded to strip away our worldly vision, aren't we? And embrace a spiritual outlook that recognizes the potential for grace, renewal, and redemption in every person. Not just who we think, right? We said that last week. Not just who we think should get it, but every person. Amen? That's how much of a loving God we got, right? We also see the power in becoming that new creation. Verse 17, Paul proclaims, if anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. This is truly the heart of the gospel, isn't it? Jesus does not merely improve us, does he? But he does transform us, right? Our old selves, burdened by sin and guilt, are put to death and we are born anew in His righteousness. This season of Lent calls us to surrender our past and to embrace the new identity that Christ offers to us. What areas of our lives do you still cling to in your old ways? Are we allowing Christ to reshape us in everything, including those that we're trying to hold on to? Amen. We also see the gift of reconciliation. Verses 18 and 19, reconciliation is truly the core of God's work inside of each one of us. Paul tells us that God Himself reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's not merely about receiving God's forgiveness, is it? But it's also about being ambassadors for His peace. We're called to seek reconciliation in our relationships, our ones with God, ones with one another, and within our own selves. Who is in our lives do we need to forgive today? Where is God calling us to be agents of healing and restoration today? Because we truly see in this scripture, we truly see that God wants us to be ambassadors for Christ. Paul urges, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making us, or making His appeal through us. This is a powerful responsibility, isn't it? We're not just to be passive sitting by, are we? We're not just to be on the sidelines, right? We're not just get passive recipients of grace. We're to be active recipients of God, of Christ's love throughout the world that we're in right now. As ambassadors, our words have, and our actions and our attitudes should all reflect the righteousness of Christ. This Lent, let us ask, how well are we representing Christ to those around us? Are we living in true reflections of that, of His love and His truth? In the main scripture today, you see God's relentless mercy and His love for the sinners. Luke 15 contains some of the most profound parables of Jesus, revealing the true heart of God. This chapter responds to a complaint of the Pharisees. The man receives sinners and eats with them. The Pharisees were a little upset with that, wasn't they? They didn't like Jesus for that. Kind of showed them up. Yeah, they were being a little prideful right there, wasn't they? Amen. But in this, Jesus answers with three parables. He talked about the lost sheep. God seeks the lost, just as a shepherd seeks his lost sheep. He talked about the lost coin. God rejoices over the found, newfound, when we find our way back to Him. Amen. And we also see the lost son that we're studying about today. God represents and restores the repentant, don't He? As long as we're being willing to repent, He will restore whatever we have. Amen? Parable of the prodigal son is the climax of His teaching, showing how God's mercy, His grace, and His justice all work together in salvation history. Because we see the rebellion of that younger son, didn't we? The younger son's demand was what? Father, give me a share of property that falls to me. It's shocking. In Jewish law, inheritance was distributed after the father's death, right? Not while they were still alive, right? By asking early, pretty sure the son essentially says this: I want your things, but I don't want you. I want your things, but I don't want you. Amen. This truly mirrors the human sin, don't it? We desire God's gifts that He has for us, right? Through our lives, through blessings, through creation. But we reject His authority, don't we? Sin is not just breaking the rules. But breaking relationships. Adam and Eve rejected God's authority, didn't they? Israel, like a rebellious son, a abandoned God, didn't he? Paul declares that who? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Who has sinned? Everybody. Guess what? No matter how long you've been saved, you're still a sinner. You're still sin. God covers that, right? But we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we also see some consequences of sin and spiritual emptiness. The son squanders his wealth with reckless living, didn't he? That illustrates the emptiness of worldly pleasures. When famine strikes, he left his feeding pigs, which was a symbol of uncleanliness, wasn't it? Those nasty old pigs, right? They were unclean. Sin promises freedom. Amen? But it delivers slavery. Sin promises freedom, but it delivers slavery. What are we seeking to satisfy apart from God? Have we rejected our Father's authority for temporary pleasures here on this earth? We truly see a repentance of the Son, don't we? When he came to himself, when Cray-Cray got out of the Son, when Cray-Cray got out of the prodigal son, he came to himself, didn't he? But he came to himself. That marks a moment of awakening for him, don't it? For the prodigal son. He came to himself. He was back in a right mindset, we'll say, right? His lostness, his dying from hunger, his unworthiness was awakened. His confession to his sin. And his need for the Father was also awakened, wasn't it? And what did he do? He decided to return, didn't he? No matter how long he'd been gone, no matter what he had done, he decided to return. Because it's got to be better than where he's living right now. Amen? It's got to be better than living in a pig pen. And we see true repentance as returning to God. In the Old Testament, return is a call to repentance. Joel 2:13 says, "Return to the Lord, for He is gracious and merciful." And Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and return to the Lord, and He will have compassion." I'm going to say, yeah, that's a pretty good one, ain't it? Isaiah 55:7, "Let the wicked forsake his way and return to the Lord, and He will have compassion." Repentance involves three things. First, you have to confess the sin that you're living in, no matter what it might be, right? Second, you got to turn from that sin after accepting and recognizing it, just like the prodigal son did. And third, and probably the most important one, is returning to the Father. Amen? If we just try to run around and say, "Oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do that sin no more," but we don't truly return to our Father, then that turnaround is not based on a biblical truth, is it? Because we have to have the return to the Father. We have to have Christ as our true repentance maker. Because true repentance is not just regret for something we've done. Again, true repentance is not just regret for something that we've done, but it is truly a change of heart and a change of our direction. Are we convicted of our sins that we have in our lives? Are we willing to humble ourselves and return to the Father? We also see the mercy of the Father. While he was still a long way off, what happened? His Father saw him. Amen. And felt compassion. Hey, guess what? No matter how far you might feel from Christ right now, our Father sees us. And all you have to do is turn around. And you have the same compassion that the Father here did. The Father runs to him to meet his son. A radical act in Middle Eastern culture, isn't it? Where dignified men never ran. Amen? This reflects God's true eagerness for us to forgive us. But instead of punishment, what happens? Instead of punishing the son for squandering everything, what happens? The father restored him. Not just a little bit, right? He fully restored him to everything he had in her family. The father restores that son, didn't he? He gave him that robe, which was a symbol of righteousness. He gave him the ring, which was a symbol of sonship and authority. And he gave him that third thing. You remember what the third thing was? He gave him sandals. Only sons at that time wore sandals. Not the slaves that they had, right? Only sons wore sandals at that time. And this tells us, truly an illustration of justification by that grace, isn't it? We are not restored by our works, are we? We are clothed in Christ's righteousness. And we are adopted sons and daughters in heaven. Salvation truly is a gift, not a reward. Amen? Do you believe that God's mercy is for us, or in God's mercy for us? Have we truly accepted His forgiveness for us? I know sometimes we all have an issue every once in a while of truly thinking of 24/7 that everything's all good, that God did something for us, right? That we truly accepted it. Because every once in a while the devil will come in there, you don't deserve that. You don't need that. That ain't the right thing. So we gotta truly accept that true forgiveness from God. Amen. But we also see the resentment of the older son, don't we? The older son represents the Pharisees who resented Jesus' mercy towards sinners. He refuses to enter in that celebration with his brother, showing true self-righteousness, didn't he? He said this, "In all these years, I have served you, yet you never gave me a young goat." Like the Pharisees, the older son thought obedience earned favor. But Scripture teaches us this. Our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. It teaches us this. By works of the law, nobody, who? Nobody will be justified. By works of the law, nobody will be justified. He saved us, not because of the righteous things that Ronnie did, that you did. Amen. He saved us not because of the righteous things that we have done, but because of His mercy. Amen. We truly see with the prodigal son's father an invitation to that grace. The father reminds his oldest son, "Son, you're always with me. And all that is mine is yours." The older brother himself, again, had access to all the Father's blessings all along. But he never understood grace. He never understood grace. Because self-righteousness that the older son had blinds us to the need for that grace. Are we resentful when God forgives others? Do we mistakenly think that our good works earn our salvations? This parable represents three key responses, don't it? Are we like the younger son? Do we need to repent and return? Are we like the older son? Do we struggle with self-righteousness? Or will we imitate the Father? Will we extend mercy to others when called for and needed? The good news is this. Jesus is the one true older brother who did not resent the Father's mercy, but came to bring us home. He is the older, true older brother, I'll get to that again, who did not resent the Father's mercy for us, but came to bring each one of us home. So this Lent season, and beyond, I hope, may we repent of our sin. May we receive God's mercy. May we rejoice in the salvation of others. Because again, that season is a reflection season and renewal season. It's time to examine each one of our hearts and draw closer to God. Today's gospel, we find one of the most powerful parables that Jesus ever told. And that was the prodigal son. The story reveals the true depth of God's love, don't it? His desire for each one of us. For repentance. And His joy in welcoming sinners home when we truly repent. The younger son, again, demanded his inheritance. A shocking request that symbolized his rejection of that father's authority. He squandered everything he had in reckless living. How many of y'all ever did that? He squandered everything he had in reckless living, representing a human tendency to chase worldly pleasures. When famine struck, he found himself in desperation. He was feeding pigs, right? Which for a Jew at that time was a sign of utter disgrace. Sin promises freedom, but leads to bondage. It promises fulfillment, but leaves us empty. Leaves us empty. He came to his senses. Again, he might have got smacked upside the head somewhere, right? True repentance begins again with a realization of our need for God. The son planned to return as a servant, believing that he had lost his sonship. Humility and repentance open the door for restoration, doesn't it? The father ran to his son. Again, something no dignified Jew man would do. Yet it does illustrate this. It does illustrate God's eagerness to forgive. The son's confession was met with grace, wasn't it? Not condemnation. The robe, the ring, the fest, all signify full restoration. God does not just forgive us, does He? But He restores us completely. But we'll have some older brothers' resentment. The older brother resenting and represents those who outwardly obey, but lack the father's heart of compassion inside. He was angry that grace was extended to the unworthy. Self-righteousness blinds us to our own need for God's mercy. And what do we see in the response of the Father? Father rest assures the Son, all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. God invites both the rebellious and the self-righteousness into His love. The real question is this. Will we accept His grace? Will we remain on the outside in bitterness? For the lost, no matter how far you've wandered, God is waiting to receive you back. For the self-righteous, beware of pride. God destroys mercy, or desires mercy. Let me say it again. For the self-righteous, beware of pride. God desires mercy, not mere rule-keeping, right? And for all, Lent calls each one of us to return to the Father, embrace His love, and rejoice in His mercy. Sorry. The parable of the prodigal son is really about the heart of the Father, isn't it? His extravagant love, His endless mercy, and joy in restoring His children. As we journey through Lent, may we continue to come home, or may we come home with Him, or to Him. Let me say that again. As we journey through Lent, may we come home to Him with humble and repentant hearts, not contrite. Are you ready to embrace His grace today? As we continue this Lenten season, let us take heart Paul's message. Let us see it, the world through Christ's eyes, not ours. Let us embrace the new creation that we have become. Let us live out the ministry of reconciliation. May we walk as faithful ambassadors, bringing Christ's love, forgiveness, and transformation to all that we encounter. As I come for the final song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I thank You for getting Ronnie out of the way, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your blessing and your message today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for telling us we're truly the prodigal son, Lord, when we get away from Jesus, Lord. Lord, I ask that you put on our hearts today, Lord. If anybody needs to turn from any sins that they're doing right now, Lord, that you would touch our heart right now, Lord. Give them grace, give them mercy, Lord. Most important, give them restoration, Lord. Lord, may you put somebody in front of us this week, Lord, that we can tell about your true mercy, your love, and your grace, Jesus. We ask you to bring us back to the next appointed time. In your name I pray. Everybody say it.